denials, and also Dumfries and Galloway. In Wales, also some showers around. Most of them will probably affect the Llyn Peninsula, Pembrokeshire. Inland, a little bit more sunshine, but only just that little bit more. Overall, it will be quite a cloudy day, and the showers will come and go almost at any time. And the temperatures in Wales will be anywhere between 5 and 10 degrees during the daytime. Across England, the most frequent showers will be across eastern areas. So anywhere, say, from Newcastle through much of Yorkshire, Lincolnshire into East Anglia, but even across the Midlands, through the London area, central southern England, and all the way down into Cornwall and Devon, showers are certainly not out of the question. Some of them could even bring hail. Temperatures also across England will be anywhere between 5 and 10 degrees. And then, of course, if you add that strong wind, which will be very strong, particularly around the North Sea coast, say, off the coast of Lincolnshire, here temperatures won't feel any higher than around 2 or 3 degrees. So that's the wind chill that's going to make it particularly cold. The strong winds will last through Sunday night and into Monday. Then they will die down. And actually, for many of us, Monday will be cold and crisp. Temperatures will be widely below freezing. And probably the coldest night of this current cold snap will be Monday night into Tuesday, where temperatures widely will be down to -3 or -4 degrees. Diana, back to you.
Thank you. A brand new series of Nick Walker's Annika Stranded is coming soon. For those who missed the last series, here's your chance to catch up, kicking off with Into the Ice. The reader is Nicola Walker.
Around about 1 in 4 people who apply to join the Oslo Police Service are accepted. This makes it an easier trade to get into than, say, heart surgery, but harder than bricklaying. I'm not knocking bricklaying. We all need walls put up. I'm just saying that there are certain standards which need to be met before you get your badge. The training is pretty rigorous, for starters. At the police university, you get drilled in criminology, psychology and sociology, as well as having to do a bunch of press-ups every day. There are the long hours in the shooting range, there are classes in conflict resolution, and you also learn how to handle a speedboat, which, if you're that way inclined, might get you transferred into the boat patrol. I was that way inclined, as it happened. I had grown up by the sea and could sail a boat before I could walk. Actually, that's ridiculous. I could probably draw a picture of a boat before I could walk. Or at the least, I could say the word boat before I could walk. Either way, it's in the blood, is what I'm saying. And so even though I struggled a bit with the firing range and the conflict resolution and definitely the push-ups, I aced the speedboats. And now I spend my time patrolling the Oslo Fjord and have done for 10 years. My point is, to get into the Oslo Police Service, you need to be a particularly conscientious and dedicated individual. You need to have a range of skills and abilities. You need empathy, determination and clear thinking. But at the very least, you need to be able to spell your name correctly on the application form. So, my little chick, be good for Granny, won't you? I've got to go and get on my boat and help keep the Oslo Fjord safe. Something you might want to do when you grow up too. It's in the blood. And it's also in the name, because you're a Strandhead. Like it or not. Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Strandhead is an ancient name with a proud history. It is from the German Strand, which means the shore, and head, which means health. The Strandheads would be responsible for the health of the shoreline. This is very different to stranded, which means abandoned and lost. And if anyone teases you about being stranded, then that's due to an administrative error, which dates back to your mother missing off the H on the application form. And ever since then... Oh, yes. I've bored you with this many times. All I'm stressing is, neither of us are stranded. Even though I'm leaving you to go to work. So you might feel a little bit... We're strandheads, not strandeds. And that means that Mummy has to go now and fish a body out of the water. No one thinks of Norway as a particularly warm country, but there are often tourists who arrive thinking it might be a bit like Scotland or Belgium or somewhere, and arrive a bit underdressed. But it gets so cold here that parts of the Oslo Fjord can freeze over. Usually this is okay. The fish, for example, swim deeper underneath the icy surface and so stay in the fluid water. My father told me that some Arctic fish can secrete antifreeze molecules to inhibit ice crystals in their body. This seems like a smart bit of biology. I use Aquavit personally, but good for the fish, I say. Last night, however, the temperature dropped to -8, and in the morning, a walker discovered that a shoal of pollock, probably chased into the exposed bay by a bigger fish, got trapped in the shallow tide and were frozen before they could escape. And there they stayed, hundreds of them, locked beneath the surface. This has happened a few times, mainly in the north of the country. But what marked this site was that on the edge of this shoal, looking upwards, hands pressing against the ice like he was pressing against a pane of glass, was the body of a man.
Someone has checked that this ice is okay to walk on, right? Mikkel, have you been out here already? Because you're, what, 12 stone? And I'm, you know, considerably less than that. I'm not back to my fighting weight, but even so, if you, as a man, you know, a couple of stones heavier, or at least 3 stones heavier than me, has... You can't hear me, can you? Okay, fine.
So, the frozen man I'm looking at is about 5 feet 5 tall. He's in his 40s, I would think. Head clean shaven. He's wearing dark clothes, a V-neck jumper, black trousers, and a jacket where there's the suggestion of a uniform in the cut. If we're lucky, we'll find identification when we cut him out of the ice. His eyes are open and frozen white, and his mouth is open, like he's been shouting at the surface. The fish have swirled around him rather than keep clear, which suggests he must have been dead when he reached this part of the water, or else he would have frightened the fish away.
Whoa, okay. Mikkel! I'm coming back before I'm part of this... Is bouillabaisse the word I'm thinking of? Get the team out here. I don't want the victim drifting away when the ice melts.
There was something almost beautiful about the way the fish had arranged themselves around the body, like a swirling backdrop to the man's torment. But soon the body was chipped out of the ice and brought to the Bohus for the pathologist to look him over. There was no evidence of foul play, and the cause of death was drowning, quickened by the shock of the cold on entering the water. He had no documents on him, nothing in the pockets of his clothes, although the jacket he was wearing was familiar to me, but too generic to place immediately. Now free from the ice, our victim's expression had loosened into something more rested. But even on the slab, I still felt that I could see something of that cry I saw in the ice. Hi, Mum. How is he? Okay. Well, he might be hungry. You could try giving him another bottle. I left one in the fridge. Right. Well, I thought I'd left one in the fridge. Look, I won't be long. I'm just checking out the Red Cross to see if anyone who uses the shelter recognises him. Yes, I can hear him being grumpy. Perhaps he needs a sleep. Well, then perhaps he needs another one. There are about 3,000 homeless in the city, and most of them at some point can be found queuing up outside the Red Cross in the evening, hoping for a bed. I'd had the autopsy photographer take a photograph that made the man as human and alive as possible, and that's what I showed some of the vagrants in the queue while Mikkel went inside. I drew a blank with the dozen at the front, but then a woman halfway back did recognise the man in the picture. The victim had visited the shelter before and was considered clever, cultured, but very restless, and so only appeared a handful of times. The woman didn't remember his name, and I continued down the line. As I got to the end, she called me back. Jakob, she thought. Jakob was his name.
The current must have carried Jakob south, which means we should follow the coast north. But since the pathologist doesn't believe he was in the water for hours before he was stopped by the ice, I don't think we need to check boats that were in the open sea. He thinks, based on calculations about how the tide and temperature was that night, we won't need to go further than Akerberg.
We moored the boat in the docks, and Mikkel asked me what the plan was. I didn't really know. Mosseveien Road hugs the coast in Akerberg, and there are many points on it where a man could have easy access to the water, so I suggested we walk down it. Mikkel had this expression on his face. Walk down it. That's your plan. I could see he was also thinking that since having a baby, my brain had become addled, and he wouldn't be the only one to think that. I could sense it in the office. I told him if he didn't want to cooperate, he could take the tram back to headquarters. So he did, and I walked the road alone. After about half an hour, it did indeed seem like a pointless exercise. What was I hoping to find? A note in the snow explaining the tragedy? A telltale pair of shoes on the shoreline? I gave up exploring the road and instead walked inland and up towards Campen Park, where at least it would be quieter. The sun was setting and the sky was turning orange, which suggested more snow. Perhaps I was just avoiding the time when I had to go back to my screaming baby. And it was at that thought that I remembered where I had seen the jacket.
Hello? I know you're closed, but can you let me in? I'm with the Oslo police. I want to ask you a few questions. I'm not a desperate art lover.
And there it was, in a room at the end of the gallery. I'm no expert, but I'd say it was probably Norway's best-known painting. I hadn't seen it for maybe 15 years, not in the flesh. It appears plenty on mugs or T-shirts or in cartoons, but it's quite something in the flesh. In the background is the bulge of Oslo, and the view from Akerberg is still about the same if you block out the docks, the road to the coast, the railings, and the bald man in black with his hands up to his face, almost melting into the world in his despair. Jakob had sat in his art gallery attendant's jacket, day after day, watching people approach the painting. The gallery had Jakob's records on file, and back at the office, a few phone calls revealed a life not dissimilar to Edvard Munch's own. A sister who died young, childhood illness which lost him much schooling, so hadn't given him the job opportunities he might have liked. A history of depression. But without access to the transforming and comforting talent of Edvard Munch, Jakob had lost his fight with despair and taken himself into the water and frozen, just like the scream, in front of which he had sat for so many years. He had left a note in his locker, written in his hand, but not his words. I went along the road with two friends. The sun set, and suddenly the sky became blood, and I felt the breath of sadness. I leaned against the fence, clouds over the fjord. My friends went on, but I just stood trembling with an open wound in my breast as I heard a huge, extraordinary scream pass through nature.
Little one, Mummy's back. Case closed. Sad case. So let's try not to scream so much, hey? We're not stranded. We're going to be okay.
Nicola Walker read Into the Ice by Nick Walker. The producer was Jeremy Osborne, and it was a Sweet Talk production for BBC Radio 4. Now to take us to the shipping bulletin, here's Sailing By. the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Sunday the 6th of November. There are warnings of gales in South Utsira, Forties, Cromartie, Forth, Tyne, Dogger, Fisher, German Bight, Humber, Thames, Sole, Lundy, Fastnet, Irish Sea, Shannon, Rockall, Malin, Hebrides and Fair Isle. The general synopsis at 1800, low German Bight 992, expected Humber 996 by 1800 Sunday. The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking, northeast 5 to 7, becoming variable 4, then north 5 or 6 later. Showers, good, occasionally moderate. North Utsira, northern South Utsira. Easterly or northeasterly 4 or 5, occasionally 6 at first, becoming variable 3 at times later, wintry showers, good, occasionally poor. Southern South Utsira, easterly or northeasterly 7 to severe gale 9, occasionally storm 10 at first in east, decreasing 5 or 6 later. Rain then fair, moderate or poor, becoming good. Forties, Cromartie, Forth, Tyne, Dogger. Northerly or northeasterly 6 to gale 8, occasionally severe gale 9 in Dogger and southeast 40s, decreasing 5 at times elsewhere. Squally showers, good, occasionally poor. Fisher, northeast 7 to severe gale 9, occasionally storm 10 at first, decreasing 5 or 6 later. Rain or squally showers, wintry later, moderate or poor, becoming good later. German Bight, cyclonic 5 to 7, occasionally 4 at first, becoming northeast 7 to severe gale 9, rain or squally showers, good, occasionally poor. Humber, Thames, northwesterly, veering northerly or northeasterly 6 to gale 8, occasionally 5 in east, perhaps severe gale 9 later in Humber. Rain or squally showers, good, occasionally poor. Dover, White, Portland, Plymouth, Biscay. Northerly or northwesterly 5 to 7, occasionally 4 at first, perhaps gale 8 later in West Plymouth. Squally showers, good, occasionally moderate. Trafalgar, north 4 or 5, increasing 6 at times, showers, good, occasionally moderate. Fitzroy, Sole, Lundy, Fastnet, Irish Sea. North 5 to 7, occasionally gale 8, except in Fitzroy. Squally showers, good. Shannon, Rockall, Malin, Hebrides. North or northeast 5 to 7, occasionally gale 8 at first, decreasing 4 at times later. Squally showers, good. Bailey, north 5 or 6, becoming variable.